Sanhedrin Perek Aleph Mishnah Hey 1-5, and now we talk about these special kinds of cases which are adjudicated only by a Bezdin of Shim Ve'echad, a 71-person Bezdin. In other words, the Sanhedrin Agadol, the great Sanhedrin that sits in Lishkas Agazus there in Yerushalayim. So, first of all, it says, Ein Danin Lois HaShevet. You cannot try a whole tribe. What this means is if the majority of a given Shevet, of a tribe of Israel, serves a Avodah Zarah, so then you don't try them as a bunch of individuals, each individual being tried in a Bezdin of 23, but rather you try the whole Shevet, I'll call it collectively, although of course we're just only going to punish people who actually served the idols, but they'll be judged with the Bezdin of 71. This is basically learned off from Psukim. The Psukim, referring to the punishment of someone who serves the Avodah Zarah, says, V'hotseisa es ha'ish ha'hu, o es ha'ish ha'hi, asher asu es ha'davar hara hazeh el sha'arecha. You'll take this man or this woman who did this terrible thing to sha'arecha, that's where the place of the Bezdin is, and usa kaltam ba'avanum v'mesu, if they're guilty, they're going to be pelted with stones and die, that's skila. The point is, the drush is that it says an ish or an isha, a yachid, an individual. But once we're talking about a shevet, or at least the majority of a shevet, acting together, so then it's like a national situation, and like, the basic theme here is national events, or events that, considerations that affect the nation as a whole, or a good portion of it, so those will be judged by the Sanhedrin. Okay, that's that. Next, velo es navi hasheker. A false prophet, meaning someone who's prophesying in the name of Hashem, but he's shown to be false. So that decision, if he's a Navi Sheker, has to be taken really by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and not by anything less than that. It should learn up from a Gezeira Shava, from the topic of the Zak and Mamre. I discussed briefly in the introduction. That's when a someone who is a Shofet in his own right, he is a Musmach, he rules contrary to what the resolution, which is the binding resolution of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, so he rules against them, and he also faces death penalty, so we're going to connect that to the Navi Sheker, the false prophet, and just as the Zakan Mamre faces a court of 71, so too does the false prophet. Below is Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol also gets tried in a Bezdin of 71. This is a very limited case. This is talking specifically about a Kohen Gadol who is facing a death penalty. So again, a Kohen Gadol could go to court for his parking tickets, for his unpaid loans, for his breaking someone's nose, or whatever else that people do in Bezdin, and he can be brought to a Bezdin even of three, we'll see. And if he's facing a death penalty, however, then there's a special limud. It has to be that it's done in a Bezdin of 71, because he's the Kohen Gadol. It's based on Psukim. Again, the Psukim are in the context of really when Yisro was talking to Moshe, and he says, Kol hadavar hagadol yaviu elecha, which means like all the major issues, I guess, all davar hagadol, large matters, significant matters, major matters, whatever, which should be brought to you, Moshe, the top of like the judicial pile. But the drush is, we're talking about davar of the hagadol, who's the gadol, that's the Kohen Gadol. And since it's actually hadavar, what's hadavar? We're talking about a capital situation, not any old davar, but the big matter, davar gadol, the big matter, meaning the davar of an execution. Okay. Next is the Mishnah Ve'ein Motziyin Lemelchemes Harishus. The king can't take the people, his army even, to conduct a Melchemes Harishus. Melchemes Harishus means an optional war, a voluntary war. This is a war that's motivated for essentially economic gain, or maybe political gain, or maybe strategic, gain, national security. But it's not a Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Mitzvah, an obligatory war, is something else. Those are essentially to kill a Malek, or to kill the seven nations that Hashem said to get rid of at the beginning when they came into Israel. Or really, says the Rambam, anytime you have an enemy of Israel like acting to kill Jews, on an organized way, so that you have to fight that organization, that those people with the Milchama, it's a Milchama's mitzvah to save Jewish lives. But if you're essentially deciding that Israel needs to expand its borders for whatever political, economic, strategic reason, so then you can't do that without consulting and getting authorization from the Sanhedrin. The king has to do it, but he needs authorization. And the truth is, says the Gemara, that while the Sanhedrin is a necessary precondition for going to Melchemes Mitzvah, it's not sufficient just because you got authorization from the Sanhedrin. What's supposed to happen, learn from Sukkim, first the king who wants to take this Melchemes Rishus, this optional war, should consult with his his yoetz, you know, his chief of staff, his advisor, and say, is this a good idea? The chief of staff, the advisor, the yoetz says yes. So then they would take it to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin approves it. Then they have to go to the Kohen Gadol, who is supposed to get a consultation with the Urim V'Tumim. For the Urim V'Tumim, the stones on the, as part of the Kohen Gadol, which light up to communicate with Hashem. So those Urim V'Tumim, or powered by the Shem Hashem, the Urim V'Tumim inside, whatever it is. So those name letters light up, you can get an answer from Hashem, and that's required also before Melchemes Rishus. And then if you get all those things, the king gets authorization, you know, the thumbs up, approval from his advisor and the Sanhedrin and the Urim V'Tumim, so then he would tell his general to implement a plan of conducting the war. Okay. Next, says the Mishnah, the Ein Mosifin Al Ha'ir, you're not allowed to expand the borders of the city, that we're talking here, the city of Yerushalayim. This is because certain things like eating Kachim Kalim and Meiser Sheni and Netta Ravai have to be done within the walls, boundaries, confines of Yerushalayim. So you could redefine the boundaries by expanding it. You know, you could expand it by expanding the walls outward. The story is the walls of Jerusalem have been rebuilt and readjusted many, many times in history. So you can't do that without the Sanhedrin's authorization. And also, Valaha Azaros, same goes for the courtyards. This is referring really to the dimensions of the Azara of the Mikdash, the temple courtyards. Remember, within the Azara, certain restrictions in terms of Tumah Tahara, who can go in there in terms of with Tumah restrictions, as well as the Kohanim have to eat their Kodshei Kodshim inside the Azara and that kind of thing. So the point is, there are rules, but if you want to change the boundaries, you need to have Sanhedrin approval, Sanhedrin Agal approval. Again, well, that is a necessary condition. It's not the only, it's not sufficient just if you have the Sanhedrin. In fact, in addition, you need to get the king to give the thumbs up in terms of changing the boundaries of Jerusalem or the Zaros around the Mikdash. You also need to consult with a Navi, which is not so easy, of course, and you need to consult with Urim V'Tumim. And if all those people give the thumbs up, approving it, then you can go on to adjusting the boundaries of Yerushalayim or the Azaros. Okay. Next, says the Mishnah. Ein osin Sanhedrios l'shavatim LLP bezdin shel shiv ve'echad. Literally, this says you can't make the Sanhedrios, meaning this is the 23-person Sanhedrios for the Shvatim. Remember, there's unless you have, that's done by the authorization, the appointment of the Sanhedrin Agadol of 71. The idea here is that, you remember, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's really one mitzvah d'oraisa, to set up courts throughout the land of Israel. Every city needs one if it's big enough, as well as like there's also like a county court, if you will, for the Shevet. So those, we're talking about the here of 23 that could try capital cases. So the mission here is saying that the one who appoints those Shoftim, the function of judges in the Bezdin 23, who oversees that process and authorizes who gets to be serving in those courts, that is one of the prerogatives in the jurisdiction of the Sanhedrin Hagadol. Says the Mishnah further, Ein Osen Ir HaNidachas LLP Bezdin Shel Shivim Ve'echad. Ir HaNidachas, a special case where you have a city which is big enough, more than 100 people, but not too big. It's not the majority of a particular Shevet, but one Shevet lives there, and the residents of that particular city turn the majority of the residents to become idol worshippers, to do idol worship. So that's like a, called like Ir HaNidachas, I don't know, a wayward city, something like that. The city turned aside towards the Vodazara. So they have a special din there, that the city is tried as a whole, as Ir HaNidachas. Again, if it's found guilty, meaning if the majority of the residents are found to have served idols, so then of course we don't kill the people who didn't serve the idols, but everyone who does serve, of course, is executed as part of this tribe, whatever called this court of 71 will decide, the Sanhedrin Gadol. In addition, Ir Nidachas, everything basically has to be, all the assets of the city have to be gathered to the town square. They're burned, the city is burned to the ground, and it's forbidden to ever rebuild that city once again. So Inri Dacha is like a story all to itself. Those who are innocent, residents, those people, well, they are innocent as much as they didn't serve idols. They're not the innocent as much as they still residents of the city, which is a majority idol worshippers. That's bad. They lost their stuff. But in any case, they don't die. They move on and live elsewhere. But the city in which they lived is burned to the ground and never rebuilt. So that can't be done. That whole Irni Dachas procedure can't be done. They should have the Bezin of 71. Further, says the Mishnah, this is a halacha about the Irni Dachas. Ein osin Irni Dachas b'safar. You cannot declare a city to be an Irni Dachas if it's a border town, like budding on the border with, like another, I'll call it enemy territory, another country. The reason why is actually learned from a pasuk, to be honest. The pasuk says, Yatsu anashim b'nei Belial mikir becha. You'll take these bad guys, I haven't translated exactly, these mikir becha from your midst, but there's a drasha mikir becha only within the midst of the country, not on the border of the country. But the Gemara itself actually gives a time and a crowd, explains a rationale why it should be that you shouldn't have Irni Dachas on the border, and the answer is, an Irni Dachas is raised to the ground, no one lives there, they don't rebuild it, which would mean, if we're on the frontier of the country, that essentially is effectively giving away land to the neighbors, and they'll know this is not a defended area, and essentially we'll move on in. So you're going to lose Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to endanger Jewish lives, and therefore you can't put it on the border. That's the time of the Krah, but the Gemara says it out. Now, further, there's also a limit on how many you can do in a given area. It says, Ve'ein osin Irni Dachas, not only b'safar, but also v'lo shalosh. You can't do three of them. Essentially, think of them as a given Sanhedrin can't declare three cities in one of the main regions of Eretz Yisrael. There are three main regions in Eretz Yisrael. The north, the Galil, the south, Yehuda, and the east, Eivar Yarden. So you can't do, the Sanhedrin, a given Sanhedrin can't do more than two, says the Mishnah, because if you do too many of these cities, then they see you're laying the country like desolate. You can't do that. But one or two you could, and the Chiddush is one or two, even if those two are very close together. So you have like basically two cities which now are lumped together, and now you have one big desolate area. Making, you might have thought it's like making like a big karachas, like a build, a big like desolate area in the middle of Israel that's large. So you shouldn't do that, but the answer is you can do it. One or two you can in a given like region, one of those three regions, but not more than that in the term of a given Sanhedrin.